Good evening, everyone, and welcome. And thank you for joining us here at the Adelaide Parish Council. This is one of our ordinary meetings, and we're absolutely delighted to see people come into our galleries to talk to us. So thank you for that. And our opening statement is that Council acknowledges that we need on the lands, traditional lands and waters of the Karamang and Kaurna people. They are the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions that we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. So we have, have I got an apology or a leave of absence from Council Council? Okay, so we've got an apology from Councillor Huxton. Okay. And if you can roll up again, so we've got two requests for leave of absence. One is for Councillor Parkin, and the second one obviously for Councillor Chief. So the first one. We've got a third one as well. Okay, so the other one is for Councillor Sarah. All right, so we'll do them one at a time. So let's start with our first leave of absence. I'm looking for somebody, please, to move the first leave of absence for Councillor Parkin, please. Thank you, Councillor Sheedron. Thank you. Councillor Bryant, secondly. Thank you. All those in favour? All right, thank you. So that was carried unanimously. Our second one is for Councillor Adrian Cheetah. I'm looking for another. Thank you, Councillor Boyd. And the second, thank you, Councillor Bill. All in favour, please. Thank you very much. And for our third one, which is for Councillor Selwood. So I'm looking for another. Thank you. I've got Councillor Parkin and I've got Councillor Cheetah. Thank you. Sorry, I've got Councillor Chief, Councillor Tomlock Park, and we've got Pascale. So sorry, I did mention that science. See you moved, she was really out there. Councillor Pascale, and seconded by Councillor Chief. Thank you very much. All of those in favour? All right, thank you. Thank you. Now we now have to move on to our minutes for the last meeting. We need to move those minutes. So I'm looking for someone, please, if they could move minutes. Thank you. Were there any amendments that you thought might have happened? Okay, so, excuse me, Molly. Yeah, that's true. That's in minutes. Okay, so. So, Councillor Thurman, you've moved them. A second of those. Thank you, Councillor Brown. All those in favour, please, of moving the minutes. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, now, ladies and gentlemen, we so we're now reverting on to item 5 on our agenda, and this is where we have declarations of conflict of interest by members of council. I'll kick off and I do have a conflict of interest with item 19.3, and I'll make that statement at 19.3. Do I have anyone else needed to? Thank you, Councillor Cheetah. What's it? What I just give me the item number and we'll ask for the statement when we get to it. So, that's 5.2. Anybody else? So I've got Councillor Pascale and then Councillor Mark.
Thank you, through you there. 12.2 and 12.3.
Okay, so. Councillor Watt.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a conflict of interest. Interestingly enough, item 8.3 public forum, which I will step out of.
Okay, yeah.
11.2 ATR is a general conflict, and item 12.3, which is a road closure inside the room, which is a general.
All right, so we've got those three now.
All general.
I just have to check it out then. Nothing to be done with so it seems to be fair. That's the point. Sorry, Councillor Daniel, there was some confusion earlier on about whether it was the person or the position with regard to being the proxy or the cap.
Yeah, my understanding is I've been conflicted out already because I've made public statements about it in the past, so I cannot sit on the cap with respect to that decision. So when it's previously come up since then, I've remained in the chamber because I could not sit on the cap to deliberate on the item.
Okay, so the item's denied. Are you declaring the conflict of interest? Okay, so then... Sorry, Councillor Sherwood. I've got a conflict of interest at item 12.4. All right, thank you everyone for that. We have got item 6, opening remarks. I don't have any specific opening remarks today, but I would like to let everyone know that we do have up to an hour set aside for our public forum in the event that there are nothing to do with to talk about the annual business. Right, that's been set aside for that purpose. If nobody wants to speak, then that's okay, we can move on. However, should somebody come later in the evening and wish to speak on that subject, we will adjourn and allow them to talk about the annual business plan, as you say. Okay, so we don't have any questions of agenda lying on the table. We don't have... Well, we've got a system. So the petition here was for the unisex change rooms. Now, there was, we had got a report on it from Ms. Cummings. And so we're looking for someone to move that the petition be received a notice. So we'll move that one first. Well, I've already got two hands here. Councillor Gill and Councillor Chief, I'll take them to move in a second then. And all those in favour of this is the first. Okay, thank you. Now, just go back and get sorry, I thought there were two separate decisions. Can you just pop back up? So, are you happy that you both resolved one and two? Okay, thank you. So, all of those in favour? All right, thank you, everyone. All right, sorry. Now, we're going to go to our questions on notice. The first one that we have. I'm so sorry. We now move on to 8.2, which is we'd like to welcome the old Green Valley Football Club from forward. So this is Mr. Andrew Babcock and Mr. Rebecca Tucker from SNFL. If you would like to move forward to where the microphones are there, then I believe you had a presentation. So can I just check, did you get a presentation? So, if you don't get to take it, you have 4 minutes, but then you do have questions afterwards if anyone has any of this. So, you don't have to answer the questions, but if you'd like to, that would be appreciated. So, I'm going to move over to you, Andrew. You're right, John.
Okay, thanks, everybody. First of all, I'm Andrew Oakup, and this is Rebecca Tabbitt from the SNFL. Rebecca's going to start off, and then I'm going to follow up if that's okay.
You're welcome. Off you go. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for having us, and thanks, Andrew, for the introduction. My role at the SANFL is Community Venue Development Lead. So I work with 300 clubs across the state, including on Kapuranga Valley, in helping them achieve improvements for participation and how facilities can enable those improvements. So Tonight I just wanted to give you a really quick overview and update of how SANFL supports clubs to do that, and I must say also councils to do that as well. So we do have a strategic framework, which is within the infrastructure plan there, that delivers on those key items from welcoming facilities, growing venue capacity, plans for growth and building partnerships such as the clubs with you here at council. This page highlights Adelaide Hills as a snapshot in the region, and I really just wanted to point out two key things. I'm not sure if there's an actual pointer on here. Yeah, there is. So you can see that the participation growth is really very significant here in the Adelaide Hills, and Onkaparinga Valley are very much part of that, with a current participation registration rate of 391 participants at the moment. That still has an opportunity to go up a little bit more. So that participation increase has been very much driven by female football. The Hills League has a very strong female football contingent, and pleasing to say that Onkaparinga Valley also does so. Unfortunately, their facility state at the moment does hold them back. So it becomes a constraint, and there's research that shows that constraint in terms of participation, keeping your community active when they don't have appropriate facilities to play and participate in. Over on this slide, it shows a couple of key things. So out of your 21 sites in the Adelaide Hills region, there are 7 which have compliant lighting. Obviously, we're talking about change rooms today. And here you can see that our key measure is that there are 7% only of change rooms in the Adelaide Hills region that are female friendly. Down here, this talks about our targets. We're looking to achieve by 2032, 60% of player and umpire change rooms that are female friendly, which directly links to those participation targets that I mentioned. We have a community preferred facility guideline document that is a national wide document that helps us determine at a local level, which this club is part of, how many showers and toilets that are needed in each change room. And this is the document we go to outline and determine that designs are compliant. Any funding that clubs achieve through either the Office for Sport and Recreation or through our SA Football Facilities Fund must be compliant with these guidelines. You can see there that that's the measures for umpires' rooms. So why are facilities changing? They're changing.
Could you just go back to that slide? Notice on the first one, some are optional and some are mandated. The ones that are not optional are mandated.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, they're required if they're not optional. So facilities are changing because they need to be inclusive, that females and children need to feel safe when they're participating in a change room or a sporting environment. And there's lots of different ways we can achieve those things, and I'm not obviously going to go through them all tonight, but the bottom one there is modular buildings, which is this particular project that we're talking about. Again, just on the driver for the participation growth, in 2010, for every one female football team, there are now 19 teams. So that's just showing you that huge exponential growth that is continuing in football in our state. That's across the state. So I've got just a really quick couple of examples of modular buildings. Blackwood Football Club was the first club in South Australia to deliver an OSCO change room facility. You can see the quality and the ability that these provide for councils and clubs to deliver really quick turnaround in terms of build time. That project took 20 weeks to build, so there's minimal impact on the site. And we're now nearing about a number of installations that are around that 5-year-old mark. So we do have some data, as you can see there at those venues, where these buildings are holding up really strongly, despite fairly robust use in that football context. So they're commercial fittings and fixtures, and they do allow for that robust wear and tear. So a few quick pictures of inside the facilities. This is recent. So you can see that they're holding up really well, and the quality of the fixtures means that it's an inviting and safe place for people to attend. I have shown Glenelg Football Club, which is also an AusCo modular. This is obviously a level up in terms of what it's delivering. But again, this one is 5 years old and it gets smashed with usage, as you can imagine. So you can see that it's looking really well, despite the fact that it's gold and black, but that's okay. So as part of the facilities fund, SAMFL are really proud that we've provided $150,000 grant, which acts as seed funding to the Onkaparinga Valley Football Club to deliver their change room project. And I really just wanted to hand over and leave you with the fact that projects like these have such strong community benefit. Football and sport is such a powerful mechanism to deliver connectedness, active inclusion and full inclusion for your whole community. So people will come to this place and feel connected and belonging and safe. So I'm going to trick them.
Just a question. A question.
You mentioned those five clubs, interesting Blackwood, because they play your football league.
Yes.
What was your financial support?
Sorry, I'm just going to stop you there. So I'm still swapping that quickly. Questions to the end, otherwise they lose presentation time. Just hold on, Andrew. Hold that phone. Sorry, Andrew, we'll carry on first. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that was very good. So from just quickly, my involvement in the football club, I started my involvement at the age of five playing football. I'm a little bit older than that now. I'm a life member of the footy club, ex-president, been on committees for 30 years, always sort of banging heads against the wall to try to increase and improve our facilities. And I'm really looking forward to getting this project underway and help everybody in the football club to meet the current day standards. As Rebecca said, you know, as a footy club, we're part of the community. It's really important people get together, feel safe. It's great for mental health. And, you know, with our footy club savings and input into this, together with the SNFL and hopefully council, we can achieve a great result for everybody, which is what it's all about. We've got a mission and vision and mission statement, and it's all about being family inclusive. You know, there's so many kids that play football, and that's really important, both male and female. Unfortunately, we don't deliver on some of these items, and that's due to our facilities, which is obviously why we're here today. We have, Rebecca had some updated figures of 391 players. I've got 350 on here, 17 teams, so it is very significant. Obviously, the little tackers start us off, and then it goes right through to open women and men's football. 175 local volunteers a week to make this happen. So that's on top of 391 players, 175 volunteers and their families that are sort of impacted by, you know, the club and what we're trying to achieve. And these are our three women's sides, which range from under 14s, under 17s and open women. And clearly, you know, about 4 years ago, we didn't have any women's football. And at that stage, we could just do the facilities we had. Obviously, with women football, that changes everything, and so it should. So that's the big need for improved change rooms. This fellow here, David Paschke, used to be, obviously, on the council. He was our president back when we built the facilities in the 1970s. These facilities are still the same pretty much today, apart from a few changes. The change room facility is sort of wrapped around a sort of hall, as it were. And the reason we're here and proposing a modular construction separate to the existing building is it's very hard to squeeze bigger facilities into the same space. So now you've got to have a certain amount of square meters for umpires, you know, a briefing area for umpires. You've got to have facilities to include male and female umpires, which means double the space. So unfortunately, we're trying to sort of get bigger facilities. We can't squeeze into the same footprint. So we've either got to construct a standalone facility, which is what we're proposing, or we have to build onto our existing facility and sort of nip and tuck it to suit. So that's the challenges that we have. The new facility, well, sorry, here's our current facility. As you can see, we have a urinal stand up. We do not have a sit down toilet in the change rooms, which is not good and not ideal for men or women for that matter. The facilities are old today. You need to have private cubicles for changing, showering, etc. We have children involved. That creates another level of risk. So clearly these facilities are not sufficient for today's day and age. This is what the new facility would look like. This is a concept picture, obviously. But yeah, fresh, modern, disabled ramps, all that sort of thing. These are the facilities inside. Again, these are concept images. But again, they're user-friendly for males, females, trainers, doctors, you know, all those sort of trainers, all those people involved in the footy club to make it happen.
Andrew, you've got about a minute left. So right. If you want to come around, if you need to go on, I'll then twice leave the meeting.
Just about finished. This talks about some fundraising. A lot of this information was in our previous document. But I guess this is a fundraising chart. We've been raising money with a grant, club funds, and hopefully a chunk from the Allied Hills Council. We have letters of support, which was included in my documentation earlier. I'll just zoom across. There's a lot of sporting clubs and schools that use our facilities. It's not just a football facility, and that's really important to us. And we open our facilities. CFS, when we had bushfires, etc., used our facilities. I'd just like to play this.
So, Rob, what would it mean to you to have a brand new sex change room to come from Valley Football Club?
Yeah, that would be very exciting. I've got a young daughter who's an aspiring footballer at the club. So, being able to have a space that's a bit more conducive to young ladies to be able to have a shower and get changed in private, I think would be a good step forward for the club.
Oh, it'd be awesome to get some new facilities. Lines we've got at the moment are pretty old and they're getting there, especially when the girls come through and they'll see people come through there. And all the boys, might come out if they're able to be updated. So,
hey, guys. What would it mean for you guys to have new change rooms at the Yonka Valley Football Club?
Oh, it'd be awesome. Just about to get changed before the game and take a shower after the game. It will be, we'll definitely need some new change rooms because it's always not a tournament. That's like 43 or something. Yeah. That's what I think I'm going to do again. Go on,
Jesus. Hi, I'm Tabby and I'm number 13 for Olympus and this is where we have some emotions. This is where we have some power showers. So clearly we have for a toilet in here, so this is where we have a toilet in that hospital. Oh, the footy! Why?
It's about to be
all the way over there. We need your help to get new changes.
Thank you. I can quickly get a minute. Thank you very much. Will you take some questions?
Certainly.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of time, but let me go now first, because you did have
a question. I had a question. In terms of Blackwood, which is in the Hill Football League, how much did you put into that? And that's the proposal is 150,000 proposed for. Is it approved?
It's approved, yes. Approved. That's correct. That's
currently. How much did you put in State Blackwood?
Yeah, so this Football Facilities Fund has only just had its first round, which is what Ongaring Valley were able to secure. So I would have to let you know about Blackwood. So this fund didn't exist then. I know they had state government money for that build, whether that was in the time of the grassroots fund through Office for Sport and Rec at that time. There was football money in grassroots, but that was going back a long time ago. So my answer to your question is probably nil from Sample.
Okay, and the question is, there another current arrangements? Is there an upper limit?
150,000 is the upper limit, and in fact, that was beyond what we saw the merit in the project and the great work that Onkaparinga Valley has done. So we uplifted. It's to a maximum of 10% of the project cost. So for $1 million project, we were looking at about $100,000 support through the fund. We uplifted that to 150,000 because of the great work that they've done and the value in this project that the Sample Commission see.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'll go to Councillor March and then I'll
look
at Councillor
Gill. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Excuse my ignorance, but these change rooms that you're planning on doing, they're going to be unisex change rooms.
Yes.
And so far, men will use them for men's games, women will use them for women's games,
yes.
And the actual toilets will be unisex toilets, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. Councillor
Gill.
Thank you. I just want to clarify that the change rooms are actually going on land owned by the Fulton Club and not on the Jack Johnston Memorial Park.
Correct. Yep, that's it. Yep.
Okay. Just that it's been coming up in the motions and the report.
Which means the council, no maintenance required, no extra funds.
All right, thank you. Councillor Pasquale.
Thank you, Andrew. Just a very quick question. You talked about having these change rooms to just make it more conducive and safe for girls to play the game. Are you doing anything culturally within the club to make the women more inclusive?
Obviously we... full part of the football club, so it's not a men's football club, it's a whole football club. Every Saturday night, all the girls' scores are read out, the kids' scores, the senior scores, so it's a whole club. It's, yeah, absolutely. Part of all of that family, that's really important.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your presentation. Councillor Boggerman, it's the last question.
If it's shared facilities, how's that going to work when games are overlapping and you've still got some kids dragging their feet, not getting changed in time, and the men want to come in, or they're coming when the women are in there? I just don't know how the logistics of multiple mats on the open pool are going to work sharing a single space, and sure, how that would solve the problem at hand.
Sure. So generally what happens is the ladies play on Sunday. Okay, so they have like under 14s, under 17s, open women's in a row. And the men play on a Saturday, starting with sort of under 14s, under 17s, all set times, and they just follow through.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Look, thank you very much for your presentation. I know one of your colleagues would like to talk about financing, if you have, in a minute.
Yes.
But thank you for that. We'll take that on board in our budget thinking. And we are also, one of the items we have on our agenda tonight is looking at the way we do structure grants over the next year, realising that there are new and different needs in the community. So that is something that we're addressing as well. Thank you very much. We don't have any presentations this evening, you know, with that occasion. But we do have an area set aside for the public forum, 8.3 on your agenda. So this is a time where anyone in the gallery may speak for up to 5 minutes. I've already got Angie's name, so would you like to put your hands up to say? So I've got Angie, I know you want to speak. And the lady at the back, could you give us your name, please?
Yes, Sandhya, S-A-N-D-H-Y.
All right, thank you, Sandhya. So I'll ask Angie if you'd like to come up first.
Yeah. Firstly, thank you. My name's Angela Harvey. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I guess I'd really like you to consider the Onkaparinga Football Club application really seriously. I guess they've talked about it in the business kind of sense of it, but I guess I'm just speaking from a family perspective who's involved in it. So I'll just share. I am an educator at heart, so I was the head of the Hills Pushing School in Badon for 10 years. I am currently at Woodside Primary School, so I guess I come talking from a professional point of view as well as a personal point of view. In terms of my professional point of view, well-being and mental health and seeing young people thrive has been my driver. So This kind of all fits in for me. And places such as football clubs are extremely important to the wellbeing of our young people and communities at large. So we've got research to say that when people feel included, people are connected to their communities, they're more likely to thrive. And I guess I want that for our council area, where there's places that are beacons of that. And facilities are part of that, but not everything. So I'll keep going with that. And then personally, I'm a mum of three children, two boys. So they've been through the footy club from five, and one's playing B, sometimes A's, not very often. One playing under 18s, and he's also down at Norwood. And then I have a daughter who's playing in the under 14 girls team, and she's been playing for 3 years. So the facilities for me weren't that much. The boys would go and play football. You saw the showers, they're pretty gross. They're not ideal, but the boys would use them. They'd do their thing, they'd come out. I guess it's come to light since my daughter Polly goes in there. It's not because it's gross, it's because it's a shared facilities, and so there's no place for them to change without other people seeing. Quite often on a Sunday, I'm at the door checking to make sure that, you know, people going in and out are appropriate and everyone's dressed. But there's that kind of thing. And I guess for me, the child protection, the risk there is significant, and we do everything that we can to manage it at the football club. But having a dedicated space where kids can change, girls particularly can change, and then come back would be excellent. What else have I got here? So I spoke to Polly, and she said, can you please apologise? I couldn't come because I had medical training. I said, sure. She said, can you please say I'd really like a place to shower? Because if I do shower, I have to shower in the crop top, and it's not very comfortable. I said, I'll let them know. And then also the toilets. You saw Gabby having to walk. It's a really long way, and it's not great, and it's through a car park, and it's not ideal. Yeah, and I'm the person on the day making sure that the right people in there are not amazing. The other thing is that we use the footy club rooms for community events. So when I was head of school, we would use it for sports day, and the facilities there, the toilets, were not ideal. Again, we use that. But I guess recently, in the last 5 years, we've used Relay for Life. We've run their Relay for Life there. And before 2020, it probably was just Relay for Life. But I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2020. And even then, it was Relay for Life. But last year, I was invited to be a participant in that, and we had a group of boys who did it. And the impact that that had on my family, I guess it can't be measured. And I guess I want our club to be a beacon of light for all people, for boys, for girls, for people with disabilities, for people who are sick. And if we can have a space that the community can come together and thrive, we know that we're going to have a strong Adelaide Hills community. So I guess I'm talking anecdotally and from research, but I guess you guys have the money, and if you have got some money that you could use to put into the footy club, I think the outcomes for our community would be amazing. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you so much, Andy. Yeah. Is there anyone who had a question? No, I think we've explained that beautifully. Thank you very much. Santana, would you like to come forward? Can we just ask you, how would you spell your family name?
My family is Sharma, Sharma. If you want to include Dev, his name is Dev, D-E-V. And his surname's McIntosh, M-C-I-N-T-O-S-H.
What would you like to talk about?
So we're here to just talk about the Euradler Playground. So we're speaking on behalf of our community on that. And we'd really like council to consider renewing that playground this year. Last year, we were excited or relieved to see that it had been flagged in the capital works budget for this year. But we were really disappointed to see that it had been left off in this annual budget and the capital works plan. If you're not familiar with the playground, the current playground is really not at any level of a kind of a serviceable level of a playground. There's a single slide, a set of swings, and as a result, it's actually not used at all by our community. Our only other options are going to the school playground, which, as you know, we can't use any weekday or up until 6 o'clock. And then on the weekends, it's actually quite well used because there's nowhere else to go in Euradler. And did you want to say something about the playground and what you think of it?
All right. So, like, it's just, like, it's too little, like, like every lots of people don't go there. Like, I believe, like, no people go there sometimes unless they're really weird or something like that. But, like, yeah, big kids can't go there. And, like, yeah, we just live up the road. Yeah,
and I think our community at the moment, there's lots of young families in the area, and you know, the Euralia Main Street's quite a thriving place now, but there's no real place for the local community to connect in that area, whether it's grandparents or parents or, you know, people visiting to come and play and enjoy the area with their kids. And so, you know, we really believe we have lots of community support on this. So even just in the last couple of days, we rallied an online petition and got 126 signatures. We got 34 physical signatures on the kind of council petition form as well, which I'll submit through the process. But just to show that we really, this has been something we wanted for ages. We have a little local group of mums that we've been talking about this on Facebook for years and trying to figure out ways that we could get this, get council to renew it sooner. And we've seen some playgrounds around us being renewed, and that's great. But we just would really love to see, like, the Euralia playground done this year as was planned, because delaying it any longer for us, it's just a real detriment to the local families and community. And from our understanding as well, is it's, as the renewal is part of a long-term business plan, it's not something that's going to, like, raise rates. It's something that can be done, and delaying it any further is just going to be a detriment to us. So, yeah, we'd really love it if you could please consider the Euralia Playground. Great.
Right. Thank you so much, Sandy, and what we will do is we'll take it on, you know, take it on notice for a future budget discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your presentation. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Would you like to come forward? Okay, so Justin, so you've got 5 minutes. I believe you want to talk down on the run, so over to you, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor Wisdom. Thanks for your time. The council's time. I'm here with my neighbours, Graham Laheen and George Petrakis, who are immediate neighbours to the site where they're developing an application for OTR. We represent the broader residents of Heathfield. George collected 1,400 paper signatures against the original development application, and also 3,500 online signatures against the development application as well. So I note that Darren Atkinson sent an email to me last Friday, and I assume all the other people who put in submissions against the proposal also received that email. I note that the development application has been amended in a very minor way, which in practical terms means that there's three manual car washing bays and a plant room that have been removed from it. Which, as far as we're concerned, I'm sure the council's concerned, really makes no impact on the issues that were raised by the residents and all the issues that were found to be at serious variance with the planning code. I recognise the fact that we're not really going to influence any other decisions about this development application from this from last August when the CAP made its decision. But I would I'd like to express our gratitude to the council for maintaining a very strong position in opposition to the development. On account that it has such serious variance to the code. That's very grateful. And that's from all the residents at Heathfield. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin. Are you happy to take the question?
Sure, yes.
Thank you. Councillor Boyd.
Yes, thank you. I was just wondering whether you could rather figures of the petition party. Was it
1,400 actual physical signatures.
Actual physical signatures. 3,500 online petition.
Thank you.
The paper, unfortunately, for the 1,400 ones on paper, there were several hundred that didn't supply a mobile number or a phone number, so that sort of made them invalid. Nevertheless, there were still 1,400 signatures. I forget which councillor, when those that petition was presented to the council, but it was noted that the paper signatory petition looked like the electoral roll for Heathfield.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So the other councillor first. All right, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
For the presentation. Thank you for your continued interest in the work that we do as well for
your community. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you. So, has that exhausted our public forum? If we have wanted to say anything? We have you over there? All right, thank you very much. So, we'll move on then, everyone, to. Having finished this part of the public forum, as I said, if somebody else comes later on to put that end of the panel, we'll revert back to it. We don't have any presentations this evening. We didn't have questions and motives, which is 110.1 on our list. This is from Councillor Hill. Question has been responded to. Is there any problems with that? Are you happy with the answer?
Just through you, Madam Mayor. I'm just trying to understand why the there's no clear universal definition of what consultant or contractor are. We've been doing procurement for years. We need to find that yet.
It's a good question. Let me show it over to the CEO of the Hill. Or Gary, if you know, should I speak now? Thank you.
I'm not aware of there being any clear definition of what a consultant is that's used in local government or elsewhere. It's not something that's normally, it's not a common definition used in accounting statements. So the answer is that there just isn't one of them. We put one into the report, we have one that we're using going forward. So we've got a working model, but it's a long way from being perfect. There'll be decisions to be made over whether we identify a particular expenditure or party as being a consultant or consultancy cost. It's in the reality of commercial activity, it's a very difficult one to draw.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your question. So we can carry on. I'll see the answer. Thank you. So we now have a motion for notice. This is about revamped policy that we mentioned a little while earlier. This policy, this motion comes from Councillor Melanie Selwood. So I'll ask Councillor Selwood if you would like to talk to the item, see if we can get a second.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to move what's written here, but there is an actual addition that was suggested by Councillor Chita. Which adds that we also look at when there are additional grant provisions made by after securing stable and federal grants. So I move it as printed up on the screen. This initially came about because a number of community groups reached out to me saying that they were finding it difficult to understand what they could and couldn't apply for with council grants, and when they did reach out to council, they sometimes felt like their projects weren't quite adequate, and so they weren't actually applying for grants. And I thought it was a good time for us to review our grant policy to have a look at is our grant policy working for us? You know, we're a new chamber. Do we feel like we're getting the outcomes that we want for the money that we're spending? So this is an opportunity for us to have a look at that. Point number three there was suggested by the administration, and I think it's a fantastic suggestion that we could have a look at a workshop to see what we want to get out of our grants and whether they're fit for purpose. It has also come up recently, and we had a deputation tonight, there's a number of sporting clubs that are seeking our support, and we do need to make sure that there's some equity. So I think it's also worth us having a look at how we apply different criteria across council area to make sure that we're servicing each community in the way that best suits them, because we all know that each community does have its own unique characteristics and needs and wants and desires. And it is important to note that on the community grants website, where we talk about our guidelines, there's nothing in there around placemaking, and that's one of the big things that a lot of community groups are trying to do. You imagine Radler having their turns. The Main Street project in Gumaraka is a good example of that, where they have been able to access these grants, but a lot of them are unclear about how they can fund their placemaking. And given that Adelaide's tourism grants don't necessarily apply to them because they're not private operators of tourism, they want the ability to have a bit more flexibility in their grants. So I think this is a really good opportunity for us to have a look at that at the Chamber and see what we want to get out of them. The date in point number five is there. I chose January 2025 so that we could have our strategic plan done and adopted, but it's before we move into our next annual business planning stage so that we could have a look at how we're building the grants into the next budget for the following financial year. So I can move much.
Thank you for that. I can see lots of hands up. I did see Councillor Musgrove. Are there any questions or people wanted to second?
I'm happy to say that's okay.
Well, would you like to speak to the item?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I think this is a this review proposed by Councillor Selwood is very timely, with a number of matters raising the appropriateness of our grants policy. And as mentioned by Councillor Selwood, there have been a number of requests from community groups for ad hoc grants for significant community sports and recreations infrastructure that exceeds the maximum amount available for the Community Recreation Facility Grant Program. Also, we're just about to embark on the process of developing new Torrens Valley and Onkaparinga Valley Heritage Code amendments that will potentially significantly increase the number of local heritage listed properties in the district. And the previously now dormant heritage grant program, which by the way is still listed on our website, could be something we want to think about resurrecting. And I will digress slightly on this one to mention that there was actually an episode of Renovation Australia about the renovation of a cottage on Gould Road at Stirling last week. And if you want to watch it, it's a really good episode. And the people who, Kirsty and Mark Neal, who renovated the facility, it's a mud brick. It's not mud brick.
Sorry, I'm going to stop you there. Please can describe it. But if you can send me that picture.
Yeah, series, look on iView. It's series 6, episode 3. It's an excellent story of renovation in our council district in Stirling. We've also had the success of the Resilient Community Grants Program, a Community Halls Grants Program, funded by a one-off grant to council, I think it was from the federal government, and we may wish to continue, we certainly wish to continue work in that area because it's part of our nascent strategic plan, and it may be something we want to give grants to as well. There's also the continuing objectives of the council to respond to the climate emergency and the biodiversity crisis that we're facing as one of Australia's biodiversity hotspots. We might want to have some climate emergency or sustainability or biodiversity grants. And finally, there's council's commitment to reconciliation and the growth in First Nations groups in our region, and we may wish to support through a grant program as well. And I'm glad Councillor Selwood has addressed this because this was one of my slight concerns about this. We haven't released our strategic plan yet. However, I think we've got almost enough information to sort of channel the report and the development in that direction. And so we could potentially develop this new policy or the revised policy in parallel with the finalisation of the strategic plan in time to go into our annual business plan. So I can end the motion.
All right, thank you. Now I saw some hands over on this side. Can I just ask first of all, does anyone dissent? Are there any dissenters? So we can see last time. So that is a yes or a no?
No, I
wasn't. So can I ask for those who wish to continue in the debate, just to make sure that you don't repeat what's been said before. So I'll invite Councillor Gill and then Councillor Daniel. Thank you.
Thank you, through you, Mayor. I think this is an excellent opportunity to actually
review all of our grants. One of the things that may happen missed out on their state government grant was because it didn't fit with the sport and recreation, and therefore it didn't really fit with as a filer, because it's their stage two, which is mainly the community hub that they're doing, which is again a bit of that placemaking that Councillor Fellwood was talking about. And also Balls. Balls are finding it very difficult to find grant money unless it's some heritage funding or you know, just trying to get marketing for their balls to say vehicles are available to hire. So I think this is a really good opportunity to actually get out in the community and actually say what grants would actually suit the community, because obviously we're not making that, we're not hitting that target at the moment.
Yeah, just one point I want to repeat about the timeliness or strategic aspects of the motion, which I agree with. Just point F around consultation with groups and associations likely to access the grants program, I think is critically important. When I read that, I sort of reflected on about, I think it was a year ago, I put together a motion around developing environmental biodiversity grants programs, bring as motion on those to bring to the chamber, and thought to be a fantastic idea. And through consultation with staff and the administration, actually learned that it's not something that our environmental groups wanted. They found it too consuming, the paperwork and that sort of thing. What they really wanted was the on-ground support, the trailer, the staff to come out and help them with their working bees. So I think it's really important that we do engage with the community groups and the organisations that are likely to access this, because we might actually find that something we find or think is a good idea is actually not what's really needed by them. So I just sort of make that point that wholeheartedly agree with the motion.
All right, thank you. So I'll go back to the mover. I think you have the room. Are you wanting to speak as well? Sorry, I didn't see you then.
I'm in that blind spot. Just a question. When do you envisage the review being completed? The reason I ask that question is it's very pertinent to tonight's presentation. Obviously, not bringing the football club out year to go, and their grant that they were applying for doesn't fit the thing guidelines. So the question is when we envision.
It tells you here at the end, January 2025, that what they're saying for this whole review is we're not going to be able to do the whole review before the end of this budget year. So,
and I'll just make the point that we've had guidelines in place for this title application for the grant, then we considered the out and up. We've been to save ourselves a couple of meetings.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think that's exactly the point of the little round. Did you want to roll with your phone?
Yes, and I'll just be brief. I wanted to point out that I had a member of the community say to me the other day that they believe that what they are doing in their community groups is doing the work of council, and that they are taking that burden away from council. And I thought that was an interesting comment, because it shows that they want to be doing this work. They're willing to put the volunteer hours in and raise funds and do all those things. So they do see that as helping us as council. And for us to be able to make sure that our grants are achieving the outcomes that we as the chamber see important, I think is really useful. And you know, that's why I did really want to make sure we had done the strategic planning before we got to looking at finalising this review. And I agree with Councillor Daniel that consultation is really important. I also wanted to pick up on Councillor Gill's comments because she raised Houghton, and I think that's really important. We are seeing the state and federal governments are calling more and more for matched funding, and I think that that's a real impact on our groups that might want to apply for grants. It also has quite a lot of impact on what they're asking us for. So I think for us to have a really good look at where we do want to help them with their matched funding, and I think it's really important. So thank you everyone for support.
All right, thank you. So that's put it in the vote. All those in favour? All right, thank you, Councillor Sowell, for explaining that motion. Thank you, Melanie. We're on to item 11.2, considering all the motion on notice brought to us by Councillor Ostertag with regard to the proposed OTR development of the people who are in the country on the phone. Right, so this is your conflict of interest.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, if you want to say anything. I'll just explain it. I'm a member of CAP in this matter. I believe, is coming before CAP and bound by the CAP's code of conduct, and can't discuss missing anything to do with this particular. So I'll leave the chamber.
Well, thank you.
We
understand it's your lack of interest. So the council also told me just by a boy of Councillor Montague, we haven't made a note for yours.
Thank you. In terms of a decision, my number, the recommendation was printed. And in speaking to that, members would be aware, members would have received email correspondence from Ms. Charlton recently. As members would be aware, the CAP refused planning consent for the construction of a OTR, traditional OTR, a service station complex at the nominated site at Heathfield, and refused that application as stated in the motion some time ago. The applicant has appealed the refusal of planning consent for a 24-hour retail fuel outlet with associated canopy, car cleaning and dog wash facilities. And they've appealed that decision, which is their right. And that is currently before the ERD court, before His Honour Justice Duran. As part of those processes, the applicant has submitted a compromise proposal. They call it a compromise proposal, but it hardly addresses the community's concerns. The compromise proposal removes three manual car washing bays and a plant room, and all other aspects of their original application remain unchanged. And that is at serious variance to the planning code for that particular site. I struggle to see how anyone could consider that to be a, quote, compromise proposal, unquote. It certainly, in my view, doesn't pass the proverbial pub test. The reality is that they do already have development approval. They have existing development rights for a small fuel outlet on that site, consistent with what was there previously. Council formulated a position. This motion, decision one, seeks to publicly reinforce that decision. And I seek a seconder for that motion.
Before you do that, can I just explain to everyone here, those of many of you will remember that we had a lawyer, Victoria Shu, from Halliby Jones, who assisted in the first round, of the OTR issue. Now, Victoria is actually on the line. If anyone had any questions that they needed answered, I'm saying this would be the first chance to get you a secondary in case somebody had that. So, is there anyone who's got a question that you? Oh, okay, right. Sorry, that's a very good point. In order for us to do this, we will actually have your confidence because this should be legal advice to council, okay?
I've got a question that might be legal advice.
For the word?
For the word in this township. It may be a question of the administration.
Well, in that case, I think we'll let you ask the question and then we'll tell you what to think there. So go ahead, please.
Given that Ms. Shute represented us at the last CAP meeting that considered this item, will a similar representation be having for the special CAP meeting?
No, I'm not sure if that's something you can answer.
Yes.
So, Jess, would you let us know?
Through your worship, no, the council doesn't have an opportunity to make a representation in these proceedings. There's no third party appeal rights from its first development. So CAP, as the independent authority, is the decision maker and is the only one that will form a view on the compromise proposal. And there are no public representation in the council.
Right, thank you. All right, so you have a question or your second, okay?
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. My question relates to the wording in decision two.
Yeah, have you got to decision? I'm sorry, that's just it. We're decision one first, of all, and come back to you. So, Councillor Scott, you need to find yourself a seconder. It looks like Councillor Grant, you need to win a seconder.
Yeah, I'll second it, Your Worship.
Okay, so now we'll go back to, so you've got a mover and a seconder. Is there anyone against decision one? Is there any dissent? Yes, you may speak, Shirley.
Just very briefly, I think this is a really good idea for us to reaffirm our decision. I think for two reasons. One is that we need to make that decision in the CAP, the special CAP meeting, but I also think that as a new chamber, I think it's important for us also to reaffirm our decision. As someone who wasn't here last time we made this decision, I think it's good to have that opportunity to be able to identify it.
Thank you for that. Anybody has anything to say something? If not, I'm going to go back to the Councillor Scott. I'm going to go to the Council. Thank you. So let's vote on that. All those in favour of decision one, thank you. That is carried unanimously. Now we'll move to decision two. You did speak quite extensively earlier on, but you said something you wanted to add. Would you explain? You say amen, but this is your motion.
Correct. I want to offer
yes
before I move.
Okay,
then. Thank you. Point three. Last line in defending the appeal, full stop. Delete all after. Second line after cap, comma, delete and by extension to the cap. And I just ask through you, Madam Mayor, if that proposed alteration sits comfortably with the director.
So let's just can we ask you to turn the screen down, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it's been over two screens. So which can we over to read the last part? Is that possible for you to do that in the news?
Could you just give us a minute?
Yes, we'll just allow a bit of control.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It just didn't make sense to me, the wording previously.
No change.
No.
Yes. All right, so I'm going to take that through the CEO that the administration are happy with this. Is that correct?
Sorry, yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry. Councillor Austin.
I'm happy that the administration's happy with that.
So,
I move the recommendation as printed. I think in moving this motion, albeit decision one was agreed to unanimously, this matter is of significant public importance, and it is important that the council, in my view, notes that the applicant has formally submitted an appeal against the assessment panel's decision of July 2023, and that appeal is currently before the ERD court. It is equally important, in my view, that council publicly signals its opposition, in the strongest possible terms, that a large 24-hour retail fuel outlet and canopy, an automatic car wash and dog wash facility, is opposed by not only this council but its local community, for the reasons articulated in our submission that was considered by the CAP in July 2023, which has been attached as an appendix. And it is equally important, in my view, that this council, as an elective representative body for our community, extends its encouragement to the assessment manager in her role in assisting and supporting the CAP in defending the appeal that's been lodged by the applicant against the CAP's decision.
The compromise proposal, as I referred to earlier, is not a compromise proposal. The assessment manager is encouraged to defend the appeal to the fullest extent possible, and in doing so, supporting this council, indeed supporting the community's opposition to this application. 1,400 signatures on a petition, 3,500 online signatures. It's worth noting that the population of Heathfield in 2021, that was 1,021. And councillors would remember that we had a public meeting on the Heathfield Oval, where over 200 local residents turned up to signal their opposition to this application when the prior to the CAP considering it. One fifth of Heathfield's population turned up to oppose this development. This development proposal in its amended form, quote unquote, is inappropriate for the Heathfield area. The community has signaled that. This council has signaled that fact that it's inappropriate and we oppose it. And I seek the council's support to publicly once again signal its opposition to an OTR development of this magnitude on this site in our community at Heathfield. I commend the motion to the chamber.
All right, thank you. Now, before I go to a statement, can I just remind you we do have some legal representation available to us online. Does anybody want them to intervene though? All right, I'll say thank you very much, Victoria, for being available. So I'm now looking for a seconder, and that was yourself, Councillor Daniel. Is that what you're indicating?
Yes, thank you. Speak a little on this one. I reflect on when Councillor Sestock first brought the motion to the chamber that we should seek some external lawyer opinion for us as elected body to actually form a position on this, which was a unique circumstance, something that I hadn't experienced before. But it was a really important step and I'm really pleased that we went down that path. Although at the time it wasn't unanimous, through this journey we have learned to the importance that this is not just to our community but to the broader region with respect to maintaining the character and amenity of the hills. And this motion itself highlights a number of key points. And the second point being really important in my mind is that whilst they've made some changes, there is a lot within this proposal that is still fundamentally out of character with the Adelaide Hills region, and in particular Heathfield in that rural residential zone. And I think it is really important that we re-emphasise our objections to this proposal. It is not something that belongs in Adelaide Hills, and I hope that it will never exist in this way, shape or form. It just doesn't fit in. And that's highlighted by the fact that so many people within our community, not just in Heathfield itself, but the surrounding areas actually came out in opposition with respect to it initially. So this motion itself, reaffirming our position, highlighting the fact that there are still many aspects of the proposal that we're seriously at variance with the code, and those have not been addressed, those have not been changed, I think is important, and that we will vigorously defend our decisions of the CAP should this remain unacceptable.
Thank you, Councillor Daniel. Now, Councillor Pascal, did you have any questions? We want that question then.
No, thank you. Through you, Mayor, the amendment fixed.
Thank you very much. Can I just ask first, we have a mover and a seconder. Is anyone dissenting? Just to give them an opportunity first. So I'll have over here Councillor Selwood wishes to speak, and then Councillor Farnham. Anybody else?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, at the last CAP meeting where 100 people had submitted a response saying that they were opposed to this development. But sitting in that CAP and listening to the stories of people who live in the area and hearing how they felt it was going to affect their lives and their properties and their quality of life and the amenity and the environment around the area was very moving. I felt that they all spoke very eloquently
about the reasons that this should not be approved. And I think that if anyone was sitting in that room and listened to all of those things, came to a different conclusion that this was a good idea, I think that would be very unusual. So I do think that it's really important that we stand with our community at this time and maintain our opposition to this development, which personally I find quite atrocious.
Thank you. So I'll move over to Councillor Perman. Thank you.
Before I speak, I have a question. Should this motion get up and become a resolution with Council, that the acting director told us that the CAP is unable to receive representations from third parties, is that correct?
Do your worship, if that's correct.
Right, so I'm trying to work out the process of the both of us present at the same time, that's okay. So we pass a motion, but that, as I understand what the director says, oh, that information should not or can't be considered by the CAP. Is that correct?
So that's correct.
So I'm just wondering in my mind, what the hell are we doing? We're debating something that we can't influence a decision, can't make a submission, unlike the first one, where it was open for submissions and we made a very professional one and had the desired result for the residents. This time we seem to be can't make a submission, can't. This information asked the CEO, the director, if this decision is made in the affirmative, what are you going to do with it? File it? That's a question.
So that's all part of the question.
I might cover that in my closing.
Yeah.
I just want to know what's going to happen.
Let's let the CEO answer it. Yeah.
Through the mayor, it's just reaffirming council's position. It will be on public record. It will be part of the minutes of this council.
But the decision maker will not be advised of that.
Of course, no, they're not.
Well, I won't speak anymore.
I think
just
waiting.
All right, thank you for that. I'll now move to Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. I'll be brief and perhaps it's relevant to Councillor Hammond's question. I think it's important for this chamber to make the two decisions that Councillor Ossoff has brought to us in order to give reply to the proponents. Compromise proposal in the fullest possible terms, and that is that's send an unambiguous signal to the proponent and the other proponents for that matter that this sort of development that's completely at odds to the planning design code is not acceptable in this chamber, and that's an important signal to send. And I believe Councillor Herman, that may well answer your question because it's a signal that will put developers on notice as to what's considered acceptable in the Adelaide Hills Council area. And this sort of development isn't. It's simply not within the guidelines of the code we're even approaching it. And I think we have to be unanimous and unambiguous in saying that.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. I'm now going to move to Councillor Stolper.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I agree with Councillor Herman. This motion does not instruct the staff to do anything, but what it does do, it sends a clear and unambiguous message on the public record that this council opposes this development. And I think that going on the public record is an important tool at the council's disposal when matters of public policy are addressed by this council. Point three of decision two talks about the council extending its encouragement to the development of the assessment manager. The assessment manager would have to be, with respect, blind or deaf.
Not to
be aware of this motion on the books that this council is considering tonight, and hopefully it will be passed unanimously. Now that's going to get back to our development assessment manager, and quite frankly, I'm quite sure that it will, in some shape or fashion, will get back to the members of the CAP, whether now or certainly on the 19th of June, when the CAP is going to consider it. This is very much about going on the public record and sending a public message to our community and those that may be interested in this issue, that this council is steadfast in its opposition to this proposal and doesn't consider what the applicant has put forward as a so-called compromise position is that. But it is not a compromise position. It is the same, essentially the same concept, albeit tweaked by the removal of two aspects to the original proposal. It does not address the community concerns, does not address the council's concerns. As Councillor Daniel said, it is still seriously at variance to the development code for that particular area. So this is about the council making, once again, a public statement, which is what governments should do when issues of community concern come before it. Send out a public message to our community that this council stands with them, in this case, in their opposition to this unwanted proposal that is out of place for our local community, and they simply do not want it. It is also very important to note that the governing council of the Heathfield High School, which represents some 1,200 students, unanimously opposed this development during the community consultation phase and put forward a submission along those lines that was considered by the CAP on the 26th of July 2023. I commend the motion.
Well, I will take that as the end of the debate before we go to the vote, just for clarification. This is a what we're doing here is making a public statement. There is nothing legal terms on it, and you have no right of appeal as our system director has told us. So, all those in favour of this motion, please. All right, thank you. The motion is carried. Thank you.
Mayor, I'd like to call a division.
Thank you, Councillor Tudor. I then would therefore set aside my previous resolution and ask all of those who are in favour of this resolution to stand through and take their names. So can I ask if they smoke down Councillors Boyd, Cheetah, Gill, Grant, Pascale, Daniel, Selwood and Bostock, and those again. Thank you very much, Councillor Kirby. All right, so that motion is carried. Thank you very much. All right, so Council, if we can now move on forward. And I'll thank the gentleman in the gallery. I noticed that's one of the items you'll be waiting to hear. We will not be attending it here, but we'll just leave it at this time.
Thank you very much.
All right, Councillor, then I'm going to move on to item 12.1. This is about the Adelaide Culture and Funding Agreement. I'm going to advise Ms. Charlton if there was anything she wanted to highlight in this item or any questions you received, you wanted to respond to.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I just wanted to clarify we have an amended draft resolution for the Chamber, which we displayed on screen for decision two, and that is just to include to clarify the CPIs added to the amount of the agreement that was included in the report and in the draft for the appendix, but it's not clear in the resolution. So, apologies for that.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry, Councillor Marsh, thank you for coming back. So, not remembering you around there. Thank you, Mr. Warder. Charlotte, I'll just explain a little bit about the instructions in the slightly amended resolution and see if it will see it on the highlights. It's just the addition of CQI, which is in point two of the decisions. All right, so looking for a mover or something. Is there somebody who would like to move something? Thank you. What we wish
to in the amended form of the decision one and decision two, I think they.
Yeah, would you, sorry, we did them separately.
Oh, right, I would. Move one.
So you want to move one? Do you want to speak to it?
No, just continuing common practice for the main. So,
thank you. So, have you got a second, please? Thank you, Councillor March. Anybody dissenting? So, if not, that didn't need a lot of reply. So, all of those in favour of this item, please. Well, thank you. That's fairly well listened. Do you want to keep going?
Yes, as friend of the amendment, and just to clarify what the contribution will be, 24.25.
Okay, so you're moving and the names here?
Yes.
Did you want to speak to that at all?
No, we've had a presentation from the ISB, about the tourism board, the last meeting or two, that's explain exactly what they're up to. So I think we should support them with that major input into their finances so they can get on and do the job to draw tourists into the other areas.
All right, thank you. Let's see if you have a second up. Thank you. Councillor Downman, do you wish to speak?
No, I understand.
Is there anyone to say anything? If there are, you're fine. You have to go to the vote.
You have to go to the vote. But just to point out that previous year, Mount Barker Council didn't put in a lot of cash, they put in kind. This year, they are matching our contribution.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you very much. All right, so all those in favour? All right, so that's carried unanimously. I think that Bart will be happy with that as well. All right, so now let's rise on. On our agenda here is item 12.2, whatever. There was some people who had conflicts of interest, like you need to, but formally, you need to be able to. Yes, so do you want to first of all explain the conflict and then what the vote is? See what you want to do about it.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a material conflict of interest, as I will ask to be nominated to go to the National General Assembly and open the chamber of the college.
All right, so we'll accept that as a self nomination, which we can use. And also, I know what Councillor Cheever. What are you going to do with the conflict of interest? What is one?
Yeah, I might ask a quick question in this as well. So I only intended to nominate if it were only Councillor Scully and elected members were looking to nominate. So if there are no other nominations, I will. And it would be material conflict of interest. I may receive a loss.
All right, so let's see if anybody else wishes to nominate. Is anyone else going to nominate? All right, no, I think that we both made a nomination, so you can actually resolve the conflict of interest.
Before you say leave, could I ask a question of you, ma'am?
You may.
In the report, it says that we could do it online. We have two nominations, and they both fitting leave, couldn't fulfill that role. I just wonder whether it would be beneficial for the members and all of us if we took out a registration for online attendance when both members could attend, and anyone that did want to attend for a particular matter could also attend if the online facility was made available in the council. I acknowledge straight away, I acknowledge that sitting and watching the screen is not the same as interacting with people. That is a downside to it. That might be the way through.
All right, well, I'm going to have to be there because we can't have a debate, so we still have these two councillors here. So you're both nominated, and you can leave the chamber now, and then we can start the debate. You can do, yes, for sure. We can do that first before you go out. So, Councillor Pascal, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As this is the last General Assembly prior to the next federal election, and in light of the increased violence perpetrated against women in our communities, it is important that the Adelaide House Council is represented to speak to our motion on funding a dedicated domestic and family violence officer in every state's LGA and a grants program for councils to undertake their own work to protect women and children in our communities. With our adoption of the Our Watch Toolkit for local government, we are leaders in this space, in our state and the country. I strongly believe local government is the most powerful grassroots movement in creating the long-term systemic change Australians are crying out for. I would like to use my role as a leader in the Adelaide Hills Council to further promote our work in this space and to other community programs where we foster safety and wellbeing for our community. As debate on motions will be over both days of the Assembly, I would need to attend the full program. Without our Mayor or Deputy Mayor present at the Assembly, I feel it is important that I take carriage of the motion I have brought to this chamber, which you have all endorsed unanimously. My passion for advocating for ending violence in our community is relentless, and I thank you all for standing with me and working together to combat this femicide in our society. With over a decade of experience of advocacy and as a member of the Women's Honour Roll as a campaigner for gender equality and women's safety, I feel more than qualified to not only debate this motion, but to speak to others in the Assembly who wish to debate it too. Of course, there are other aspects of this program I am deeply interested in, and they include sessions on civic and community engagement and intergenerational equity and fairness. As you all know from my debates, these are topics I care for deeply and would use this opportunity to share my findings and bring them back to the Chamber. To minimise my cost of attending, I will not attend the Assembly dinner, but be there for the Wednesday to the Friday, 3rd to the 5th of July. My aim would also be to fly in on a red-eye flight on Wednesday and out on the Friday night, living only two nights accommodation in the hills. Once again, I'd like to thank the Chamber for supporting the Adelaide Hills Council's work in ending violence against women and children in our community and for supporting our motion for this work to be rolled out across the country. It is important we have a presence at this Assembly to speak to this work, and I hope you trust me to do this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Chair, would you like to speak then?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Many of you will be aware I attended this conference last year. It was very green into local government, and it was a fantastic experience in coming in with that green lens, engaging with other councils. Other councils similar to us. It's really quite difficult in South Australia to sort of find similar councils that have that sort of interface between the metropolitan and rural and regional almost areas. A lot of what I brought to the Chamber over the last 12 months was quite inspired by the attendance at Assembly. Understanding what local government was and what it can contribute was a real eye-opener for me. I'm bringing the nomination again, purely because I want to extend on that growth. Training and development is quite an important part of being an elected member and growing in your role. I certainly think I am doing that. And given, I guess, the pointed impact it had on me in a previous year, I'd like to extend on that. There's a couple of things I just wanted to address before the rest of the Chamber debates this item. I do not intend to take the place of Councillor Pascali. Councillor Pascali has some very important issues to raise and representations for our council. I'm also conscious of costs, but I would ask the Chamber to consider both myself and Councillor Pascali attending this event. And I would, as I did last year, look to reduce costs, acknowledgement of some of our fiscal challenges by sourcing my own accommodation and transport, and also not be looking to attend any additional events such as the gala dinner. The other thing you will get to consider, and correct me if I'm wrong, Madam Mayor, we will need a delegate for voting. I don't need to be the delegate. I'd like to go there as part of my training and development. An opportunity I think should be brought to Councillor Pascali.
Thank you very much, Councillor Chair. So you can bow and pass the number to the leader of the Morgan Stanley.
Thank you,
Don't shut the door, it's not like bothering, thank you. Well, thank you. So what you have in front of you, a request by two people to go. You might wonder why I'm not going. I have been to a number in the past in a representative capacity. I've chosen not to go this time purely for budget reasons. We normally have, or we have always in the past, I've asked at least one other person to go, so you will be saving on that as well, because that's why I'm staying here, but you might also wish to consider Councillor Herman's point. So, would somebody like to learn a person?
Just a question about this. There's two yards at we have a CEO, and we normally have two elected members or two people.
The administration decides, the CEO decides himself, as I understand it, whether or not he wishes to go. It's completely separate.
Yes.
What we have done in the past, there's always been for the mayor to invite one or two other people to go with her if she was going. And in the past, we have had, for example, Councillor Gill was gone, we've got a huge amount of it, and various other councillors have been as well. So there's no set figure for this. This is up to you, but we do need a representative to go. And I personally do agree with Councillor Chiba that it is rare for us to have an item be discussed as a motion, and Ms. Gill has probably still waiting for information on that. And the other person who we're going for the development to go.
I'd like to move that please include both Cheetah and Scully. Permission for both councillors to travel to the event.
Well, I think the council boys, so what you're putting into point two is to approve councillors Pascali and Cheetah.
Yes.
To attend. Well, if we can do it twice, okay, I understand. So we'll go back to the first one. Point two, we'll bring Councillor Pascali and then second one. And so the estimated costs there are standard estimations, and what you have heard is that they should come in a bit under them. So that's what you're being asked. Councillor Boyd, do you want to talk to your...
I'm not expect.
So would somebody else like to say, can you answer it now? Would you like to speak? Because obviously you haven't yourself before.
Yes, thank you. I think it's a great opportunity for you to actually attend these. And as Councillor Sheehan said, it's very rare for us to be able to talk to other councillors that are in similar councils to us. So that shared experience is something you can't get through a registration online. And I also think that we need to have Councillor Pascali there in case her motion does get up onto the National General Assembly, because if we don't have that passion to carry that motion through, it could get lost. I think that would be a detriment to Councillor Pascali's excellent work in bringing this to not only our attention, but to the state and to maybe the federal government as well. So I would be very happy to second it.
Right, so I'm moving in a second if people want to debate this. Thank you, Councillor Daniel.
I just want to point around both of them, I guess, made a statement that they wouldn't attend the dinner. And I guess from my previous experience going to international conferences at the universities, like representing the university in a particular field, some of the most important conversations and developments can actually occur at those sorts of dinners. So I guess I haven't been to the NGR, I haven't had that opportunity due to work, but I guess if you felt that that does provide that opportunity, that maybe you talk to them about the value of that. I can't speak specifically about the NGA, but my own experience with conferences and the like, that they can provide some of the best opportunities for networking development and ideas. So if you feel that, I guess, I don't know what that dinner looks like, but if you feel that helps, maybe you can talk to them about the value of doing it.
But they can respond to that. The dinner was sold out months ago.
Okay.
They do sometimes for the second event. I don't know if they're doing that this year, but it was more of a... It was the original ones were originally in the Great Hall, while they have over the years moved around because the numbers of people wanting to go have grown so high, they don't have enough venues ready. So they still have a second one, but I don't even know if they've come up this one. So, yeah, I'm afraid they wouldn't gain as much as they might otherwise. However, we will still raise it with them. So is anybody, can I ask, is anyone dissenting to this? So we've had a move and a second. Well, I think we're a little bit late for that, so I'll come on. I'm going to go back to the boy who spoke.
Yeah,
you haven't spoken.
No, anyway. I do, man. I think this is a wonderful outcome. And I think that we should extend the conversation to encourage both attendees to go to an event should there be a second event open up. Yeah. Number for being in place of the gala dinner.
Yeah, so perhaps I'll just ask if we can do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so I'm now going to go to the vote. All of those in favour, please. Thank you very much. That's carried, and then I'm assuming we'll take it on as an administrative item that we will check on if there is a second dinner. Yeah. All right. Could I ask you please to be a messenger and I'll invite him back in? Thank you. All right, thank you. I just hope you know that it was successful and that the review of all the day and what has been decided is that Councillor Pascoe will go in the representative position and Councillor Chi will go as far as his development. Now, it was also raised about the dinner. We understand that the gala dinner is sold out, but there might be a second one this year if there is. We'll work with the administration to find out, and my understanding of that is that that can be included if you wish.
We were actually encouraging you to attend,
yes,
because it's great networking opportunity and representing us all over there. So if there is a second event, we'd love you both to go.
Do I have to dress up? What you should do. Yes, you do, but they do have a bit of a twist, so you might want to learn up a bit about that. All right, everyone, we've done that, and we can now move on. Thank you so much. Thank you for volunteering to go. I do think that there's always a really good opportunity for people. Let's move on, councillors, to item 12.3. This is, how's this blatantly? We've got two. Yeah, I'm just going to have to. Also, just one minute speaking for me. Is Blake here tonight? No, okay, he's speaking for me. Okay. All right, we've got a couple of conflicts of interest over there. Which we need to ask Councillor Munford for the White State conflict
of interest. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a general conflict of interest on this item. My son is a keen mountain bike rider and was for a number of years a competitor in the Inside Line series. And I was also a volunteer marshal at Inside Line as well. So I'm not an office holder in Inside Line and no longer have any positions in the club. I believe that any perceived conflict of interest between my private interests in this area and the public interest I can manage. So I will stay in chamber and vote.
Thank you very much, Councillor Munch. Councillor Pascoe.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. I am a resident of the area that will experience the road closures. However, the specific road closure won't impact me directly, so I will stay in the chamber and watch.
All right, so you both have channeled on which we have spoken about it today. All right, thank you very much. All right, so now, Mr. Lewis, did you want to introduce this item or highlight anything that we need to know that you All right, thank you, everybody. So we can move down to the recommendation. I will ask people to say, Mr. Davis, please don't repeat what's in the report. I was a bit lax earlier, but because we did have members of the public and then seem more respectful to allow allow them to hear the whole debate. So please don't go through what's in the reports, please, Jim. Everyone has read their reports. So I'm looking for a recommendation for item 12.3 with regard to road closure approvals for the inside line state series. Thank you, Councillor Oliver. Do you want me to move?
That's brilliant, Madam.
Thank you. Would you like to speak, please? I can get a second. Thanks. Somebody wanting to second? Is that your hand up? Thank you, Councillor Chila. You wishing to speak? All right, then I'll move in a second. If anyone's dissenting with this item. All right, thank you. Then I will go back to our. Sorry, I'll see your hand up.
I'm ready.
Jumping the gun there, but that's okay. Okay, so we will go straight to the vote. All those in favour, please, of this item. Thank you very much, Secretary. Unanimously. Thank you. We can go to our next item. That again is another road closure. Mr. Lewis, anything to add? Thank you. So, councillors, we're looking for again for a mover. One moment, a second. All right, so Councillor Hill, you have a conflict of interest for this one?
Yes, I have a general conflict of interest because some of the road closures are happening in Charlton, and I live in Charlton. I won't be directly affected by any of the road closures, so I will stay in the chamber.
Thank you. Councillor March, were you moving or did you have to answer
a question? I have a question, if I could. I don't know if this can be answered. This is the Adelaide Hills Road, Jim. Yeah. The question is, and this may not be able to be answered, but will the Adelaide Hills Council stages be broadcast live or only the power stage in Strathall? It wasn't clear to me from your report as to which parts of it would be broadcast on free-to-air television.
Look, can I ask you to lock down on that? Otherwise, you might find that on the website, unless somebody here knows the answer to that, Mr. Lewis.
That's all right. I thought the organisers might be here, but obviously not. I'm happy to move as well.
Did you want to speak to the item to get a second there?
Yes, I'll speak to it. This event has been held on and off in our region on a regular basis. There have been minor issues, but the conditions we've placed on the organisers, which have been continued in this motion, have managed as well. The event falls under the jurisdiction of Motorsport Australia. We're very good at regulating these events. Not sure about whether it's going to be broadcast on free-to-air TV, but it does actually provide some really good profile for our area on the local and the national stage. Not just the people who actually visit for the event, but it also provides some visibility outside of that as well. There are always some negative impacts on the community of these sorts of events. However, having considered all of the material provided, I consider that the benefits of the event outweigh the detriments around community impact, economic impact, farming and environmental impact. So I can have an wish.
Thank you. That's saying you have a seconder.
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Herman.
And just speaking, it has been held here previously and generally in that same area that is envisioned this year. The last time it was held, I did seek assurance from the Director of Engineering Environment and Infrastructure, the previous Director of Environment and Infrastructure, that there would be an audit of the roads prior to and subsequent to the event. Shouldn't there be damage caused, that we would have that record and we start to follow up with the organisers to repair any damage that could be clearly identified being caused by the participants. And I assume that will happen again this year, and we're getting notifications.
All right, thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Thank you, Councillor Sally.
I just have a question through you, Matt. In the report, it talked about consultation with residents, and there was one resident who was concerned about the closure of their road
given that they are older people. And it then said that the response to that from the organisers was a phone call, so it's unclear what action has been taken.
Oh, that's helpful, because Mr. Lewis might be able to come in.
Thank you, Worship. My understanding is that the organisers have engaged directly with that couple to make arrangements that they will be able to access the home during the day. I don't have details there. I could also have I just got a message from the Manager of Communications with regards to the previous question, and that our understanding is that all stages are going to be broadcast on TV.
Thank you. Thank you. Does that answer the question? Well, thank you. So we have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. I won't support this motion. I know the report says in recent years events have not resulted in dilapidation of the road condition in any material degree. That statement is not true. At a previous event, Burton Road was severely degraded to the point that it was undrivable. A landholder I spoke to, I believe Councillor Herbert also spoke to, had to take a detour of around 7 kilometres of feeding stock and work on one of his sheds. And I did speak to a staff member on that who may wish to speak in reply, but the reply was it's the driveway of the road, so no remedial works were done, and the proponent was not required to pay for the remediation. It's part of the agreement that the proponent should repair any damage done. It's part of our compact with the community that we should repair roads that are damaged in this way. I visited the road concerned. It was undrivable. I walked sections that have been churned up by cars cornering at high speed, accelerating. It was a clearly part of a rally event that happened a few days before. I just don't think this has been managed well. I think, yeah, the other concern I have is that the letter to residents always comes from the proponent. I don't think that's best practice consulting, because they're putting our name on the letter, and I think it said something like partnering with Adelaide Hills Council. I think it should come from us. I think we should have more impartial and less biased approach to this. And it seems to me that the report itself is skewed in favour of the event. I think as a body, we should be much more impartial when supporting these sorts of events, and we should be holding the proponents to the agreement they've signed up to. So I don't support this, and I won't support these sorts of events until we have a fair agreement and our taxpayers are not impacted. These may be farmers, but they're legitimate businesses and they contribute significantly to the economy of this district. So I oppose the motion.
Can I just ask a question, Councillor Brown? What was the name of the road that you were referring to?
Burton. It's between Mount Torrens and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that's an old main road?
Correct.
And you were talking about the state of the road. How long ago was that?
This was probably the year before last, I started.
Okay, so around 2021. Okay. So what I'm going to suggest, though, is that we do ask our CEO to take it on notice to maybe check that one in.
Yeah.
There's nothing case to in the same today. Thank you for raising that. And so we have a mover and we have a seconder. Councillor Clark spoke in the debate. Councillor Selwood asked a question. Is there anybody else wanting to dissent, first of all? Well, thank you, Councillor Selwood.
I just have another question on the back of Councillor Grant's comments. In the report, it says that if it's requested that if the route requires remediation that is greater than that performed by a scheduled maintenance, that the Adelaide Hills Council and ultimate water credit sports events possibly companion in the cost. So I'm just wanting some clarity around who is responsible for the cost of remediation.
Well, then I'll throw it to Mr. Lewis, but he might have saved on notice.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rich, I'll say that notice.
All right, so we'll take the cost then on notice, but it sounds like there is a process in place that that is whether or not it's being followed and how well it's been followed. So, Councillor March,
I just want to ask a question if that's okay. I'm not going to speak again. It's just in relation to Councillor Grant's comment. The road that was spoken of is an unsealed road as opposed to an unmade road. Is that correct? And the comment was that it was a dry weather road.
Okay, so let's just confirm with the orders. What sort of road do we have out there?
I know the road. Thank you, Worship. I'm only going by some email exchange from November 2022, which I had. And the advice I was provided at the time, I was in a previous capacity at the time, and responsible for events was that the advice from the assets and infrastructure staff at the time was that it was a dry weather only road, which typically is a road that doesn't have a pavement per se, but is generally kind of dirt and natural materials type road. So you can expect it to be typically wet and sloppy in the wet winter weather. And passable in the dry times. And I would, however, be happy to undertake to the Chamber to have a look into this one in the sober light of day tomorrow and just find out how that road is typically managed and provide council members with a bit of further information, because if there was damage outside the normal, what we'd normally expect of a conditioned road to be in, the organisers should have been asked to rectify it. And the comment earlier about damage that would normally be picked up by councillors, recent maintenance, that what has been, and I've accepted this has been workshop with previous chambers in the council, is that if rally is going on in front of the road and we were due to come through and do patrol grading in the next few weeks anyway, and the damage was just, you know, a little bit of gravel pushed to the side kind of thing in a bit of a wind road, then that is kind of, you know, we just take care of that as we normally would be doing the maintenance on that road. But if there was something out of the ordinary, we would expect the advisors to pay for the rectification.
I think what we'll do is for the ladies, the waters, and Mr. Lewis, go outside of the chamber and come back in the service and the road. Councillor Osterstock.
I have, there's a big move in a second. Yeah, I have an amendment, Madam Mayor. An amendment, dot point six. Dot 0.5. Thank you. My amendment is this for the council's consideration. Council has an expectation that where appropriate, the applicant will contribute to repairs and or maintenance of roads, the subject of this report, at the CEO's discretion.
Before you speak, so can I just check, is this already in the policy somewhere? Is anyone else? Is this not already in the notes or something like that?
A question of the administration, it is already covered under a 2.D of the existing motion. I think it's already there, so I think it's redundant.
Is that how you through, Madam Mayor? How does the CEO onto it for that? Is
so we've got to your attention to both caravan with council have any rectification works required as a result of damage to the following thing to Ben. I'm not going to say
Is D make that amendment redundant, do you think?
Can
you just roll up so we can see what then? Where the red word's on.
Yeah. Oh, that's an agreement.
Yeah.
This is an expectation.
Yeah, so through the mayor, look, that just reinstates council's position about getting working with the proponents to rectify the maintenance of riders, restating our position.
Madam Mayor, through you, I will run with the amendment purely because D talks about an agreement with council. Whereas my proposed amendment makes it crystal clear that this council has an expectation that where appropriate, that repairs and maintenance of the roads would be undertaken, but it gives a discretion to the CEO. It's not merely entering into an agreement. This is going one step further and clearly signalling that the council has an expectation that repairs will be undertaken.
I'm not sure it goes one step further than agreement and expectation. Sorry, that's just my understanding of the English language, that agreement is something a bit more substantial. But, I'm personally, I think it's redundant, but I don't know what other people think. So, we'll put it as an amendment. That's the best way to go. Yeah, so we've got an amendment. We're going to take this having spoken to that, or is there anyone wish to say? Okay, so we've got an amendment. So, we are now looking for a seconder to the amendment. The amendment's been moved by Councillor Scott, looking for a seconder, please. Oh, I'm sorry, then the amendment itself is allowed. Sure. And we will refer back to our original motion. And so now we're looking for, we already have a mover and a seconder for the original motion. And I think we've played it fairly well, so I'm going to go back and ask Councillor March, you're the original mover. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, so did you want to write a mock on it?
Yes, thank you, I just wanted to address some of the comments made by Councillor Grant, and obviously disagree with having moved the motion. However, I do actually agree that we should consider in our festival events policy, instead of asking the organisers to send letters out, actually doing that from council itself. And it would be the best professional. And I think the last time that we actually reviewed this policy at work, it's very the did in the day at the time. I think that would be a very good thing to do. I also am concerned about his claims about Burton Road. My understanding from the events policy is that regardless of whether it's a dry weather road, whether it's unsealed or sealed or whatever, it should be rectified at the expense of the event organisers. So really that as well. However, I believe this event is very much in the interest of this council. It brings a lot of interest, attention to our area, I think from the report it talked about $1.5 million worth of income to the area just from the people who are actually attending the event itself, but it also brings exposure to our area as well. And even though some of us might not be really into motor racing rallies ourselves, I think it's a good thing to support because of the benefits it brings to our area.
Thank you very much, Councillor Munch. So with that, close the debate. So we'll now go to the vote, please. All of those in favour. The motion is carried. Thank you. For division recommend. Thank you, Councillor Gill. So the slide, the previous carried, and we will now call the division. So all of those in favour of this vote, please. Yeah, I'm going to call out just the names of those in favour. Councillors Herman, Boyd, Cheetah, Mudge, Pascali, Daniel, and Foster Stock. And those against the motion, please. Councillors Gill, Grant, and so on. Thank you, everyone. I declare remote in character. Thank you. So we can now move on. Councillors for item 4.5. Now, Scott, you're going to talk on behalf of Mr. Company. Oh, you're there.
Should have gone spectators.
Why is that good at his job?
And you're not wrong. Thank you, Mr. Is there anything in your report that you'd like to highlight or you would like to quickly explain to anyone or any new information you've got or questions that you've answered that perhaps everyone hasn't seen? So is there anything you'd like to know?
Yes, through your worship, I'm aware that some council members wish to make amendments to the existing agenda item, so I'll leave it up to that to happen at this stage.
All right. Thank you very much. So, everyone, let's have a look because everyone, thank you. This has got considerable good work. I know that has happened. So, we're looking to receive and note, and then we're looking for the enforcement reviews we noted, and we are also looking for primarily to increase the level of service. To facilitate year-round education enforcement related to fire prevention, specifically on private land, and make the necessary resource changes to enable this to happen, and to adopt the enforcement policy in Appendix 2. Now, so, Councillor Herriman, are you one of these people that wishes to the amendment? What is it you're looking to do?
Yes, so one.
Two
instead of reporting two instead of five.
Okay.
Can we resolve that in cover? I'll just speak briefly to three. Now, we've been thank Mr. Hearn for the presentation of the workshop the other night, most informative, and I think you all got a good handle exactly what's going on. My view is that in three, after the words provision of this service, comment, noting that any additional resources should be cost neutral. Now that was quite clear. In fact, it's not a big if the cost neutral, we improve our service, no additional cost. That makes it clear. So happy to move the motion. I don't think there's much more information.
Yeah, that's it. We'll need any more if we already have a workshop on it. Yeah. But, let's see if you've got a secondary one of those. Thank you, Councillor March. Would you like to speak to this?
I just wanted to ask a question about that. So, second addition to the motion. When you say cost neutral, you mean in terms of revenue raised from having a person or additional resources devoted to it, balanced off by the cost of employment? Is that what you meant by that?
It's what I was meaning by that. Is that we were given some options to strengthen. The building side of the building, fire prevention needed more resources there. So from the other areas where this policy is applicable, there may be some savings there to offset the cost of the additional resources going to the fire management.
So just to clarify, you're not actually saying that we have any extra FTE into this area?
Well, what I'm saying is if there is extra revenue, that would cover additional expenditures, so the cost unit would be okay.
Through
you, Mayor, there was some conversation around this motion in terms of its being cautious around dictating the way in which the CEO delivers this particular change in service. I'm concerned that the amendment that's been proposed starts to dictate
So I just remind it's not an amendment, it's actually councillor.
Sorry, the variations and the recommendations. And I just wanted to, I don't recommend it, as we get some feedback, if I could, on those implications, whether that's crossing that line into the role of the CEO and that HR.
Could I just answer that briefly in the page?
So let's go to Councillor Carroll and ask him just to clarify what he thinks it will achieve, and then I'll come over to you so that you can say whether or not that is your understanding of it, right? So, Councillor Hammond, can you just clarify again?
First of all, just in response, this does not dictate how the CEO implements the policy. Does not do that. It sets some parameters, though, as we do with policies. It sets the parameter that if he considers there needs to be additional resources in one area, and you can reallocate resources from another or generate additional income. So it's not directing the CEO at all or limiting in any way, apart from giving him a parameter that any changes should be cost neutral. And if I recall the workshop, being cost neutral was probably generous words, you would thought, but I don't have that in front of me.
All right, so let me just go back to the CEO and
sure, you can thank you. And through there, just to clarify, this is a recommendation from administration. Yes. Councillor Herman is making an amendment to one of the recommendations. If you ask me, the recommendation as it's been printed, originally printed, goes far enough. But if council want to put something forward, I feel that as it is, it is workable for administration, and the intent, your intent, is embedded within that recommendation as it's put.
All right, can I just clarify again what the administration provided us with was a recommendation, and what Councillor Herman provided us with was an amended recommendation, which was the first motion. Well, I'm just so that we understand the technicalities of that. So I have two people over the side. We are still looking for a second. So with that, are you a question? Do you have a question? No questions. Any, okay, so we've got two questions first, and then I'll come to yourself following. You have one question.
I was going to second it.
Okay, so let's hear the questions first, and the point. We'll hope there's a change in 1 minute. Let's hear the questions. Councillor Selwyn and Councillor Van.
I'm just interested in the administration's interpretation of cost neutral. If the program ended up being cost positive, in that the greater return and the expense of doing this, how would that then be interpreted?
Which was my question.
Okay, so you're wanting to know how they're going to manage the cost neutral.
It says that it's estimated to be a $30,000 surplus in the financial implications. So does that prevent that, and how would that be?
So through the mayor, it's a very good point, and that's why I would recommend to councillors at this point to adopt the recommendations as put.
All right, so you've heard from the administration as well. We are Councillor Hammond still looking for a second or somewhere. Did you have a question?
I was going to second it, but I've been convinced by the outstanding debate that I've just heard in the last.
Okay, so what we'll have to do.
You've got to pay for their trip to Canberra.
Okay. All right, let's not be too intimate about this, because we are talking about bushfire safety, right? And that is what we were looking for, that was a key part of this. So I don't think we should be making a humorous item after all the work that's been done by Mr. Ahern and his team. So this item will lapse, or are you going to second?
No, I was waiting for the lapse and I put the original version.
So this item will lapse, and you now wish to put a new motion, which was the original recommendation, is that correct?
Yeah, correct. I'd like to put the original as printed recommendation of the administration.
Okay. Are we able to bring that one up? And you're happy to include just the further description of fire, wastewater, and animal management?
Yeah, I think that's myself.
Okay. All right, so we're going back to this. We now have a new motion. It's been moved by Councillor Brown. Did you wish to talk to this further or have it helped?
Look, I don't wish to speak at length. I just want to thank Mr. Ahern for a fantastic report. I think it's very comprehensive, the amount of work that's gone into projecting potential income. It's probably very difficult to do, but it's a good attempt at it. And yeah, I commend the motion of the chamber.
All right, thank you. Let's see if you've got a second. Thank you, Councillor Boyd. I'm sorry, just popped it there, Councillor Hill. Councillor Boyd, would you like to speak to you? You were wanting to second.
Yes, I'm
correct. Okay, so we have a mover and we have a seconder. Is anyone now with wanting to dissent from this and therefore would like to speak? All right, so it sounds from this that you have, but it's anyone wanting to debate this further? Given we all seem fairly stable on this, all right, Councillor Brown. Not sure if Ned or I have replied, I don't know. Right, let's go with the vote, please. All those in favour? All right, so that is the unanimous unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Well, I hope you know that we need to be repatriated today.
Oh, yes, it did. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank the mayor for getting us in touch with the dog owner.
So thanks, Scotty, for me. Thank
yeah,
you.
I'll let him know.
All right. So we've now moved on to our confidential items. Now, we had some people who had conflicts of interest. Was there anyone else who had conflicts of interest for 19 and 1? So there is no item 14, there is no there are no administration reports. Can we just bring that down a second? Thank you. Right, so item 13 on the agenda, officer reports, information items, there are none. Keep going down a bit, thank you very much. Item 14 on our agenda, correspondence and information, there is none there. I can let you know that I have put in a request to write two letters. One is for recipients of awards and the King's birthday list to identify them and then to write to those people. And the second one was to write another to the governor offering their condolences on the loss of their mother, who was quite a pioneer in the area of women in politics. So that should come up on our next one. Questions without notice. Does somebody have a question? Thank you. I've got big problem. I've got Councillor Pascali and I've got Councillor Herman. Councillor Pascali.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. My question about notice is, was the Adelaide Hills Council given the opportunity to buy Yetta Verity Warm-Up Oval, which sits on the corner of Glen Stuart Road and Kintyre Road, when the state government put it up for sale in 2022? And then I have a subsequent question, answer to that. Question to that.
Now, see, I think it's the water point. Then the other thing that is the water.
Thank you, through your worship. Yes, council was advised of the state government's intention to declare the said land surplus to its own requirements, and council was invited to express interest at the time whether it would like to purchase the land at market value. And at the time, council responded to indicate that it did not have an interest in purchasing the land. Important to note that at the time, that was in the context of council of the development happening in the surrounding area, the what's known as the Hamilton Hill development, a significant piece of open space that was coming to council as part of that.
And your second question? Actually, I've got two. Sorry. Can I ask what the market value was
that we were offered? Through your worship, we typically provided a market value at the time, but what you do is you express interest, and then that triggers a process to determine the market value.
Okay, and then my subsequent question was, is it normal practice for us to have first offer, or sorry, be offered Crown land when it was being sold?
Three, Your Worship. Yes, the process is the Crown checks with other government agencies first to determine whether there's a government use for the land, and if there's not, and actually usually in parallel to that process, they file the local council to see if the council has interest. Only after those options have been exhausted does it then go down the path of other disposal processes. My understanding in this case, given that the site had been occupied by Ross Trevor College for many years prior to that date, they entered into a direct negotiation with them.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, could I please move a motion that, not yet, please, I had another question when I mentioned it, but this is in relation to what happened. I did check on the government. It's been. Oh, I see. Sorry, I beg your pardon. I thought you were asking for a new motion. And I'm asking for that to be recorded.
Yes, and then I'd like to.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I'd like to move the motion that the answer to that question be recorded in the minutes.
All right, so you're the mover of that. Just have someone give a second, please. Thank you. That's a note. Do you want to debate this?
No, I just wanted to let the chamber know that the situation in Tawoma Oval is causing residents who live on McIntosh Crescent, which faces the Oval, some angst at the moment, and they have been asking questions around the sale of the land. When they bought their properties, they were told it was Crown land, and then 6 months before moving in, it was sold to Ross River College. They've been asking the council questions about this. However, the only question I think we really need to answer is, were we offered this land, and did we choose to buy it or not? And we haven't. I think all their remaining questions need to go through the Department of Water and Environment and the state government. I don't know what more we can do to assist the community other than help them in their relationship with Ross River College and the use of the Oval.
All right, so Mr. Walsh is responsible of being recorded so that the administration can actually put that in there. We've got a mover and a seconder. The seconder, did you want to speak? All right, so anybody against this? All right, so we'll go straight to the vote. Thank you, everybody, for either applying. All right, thank you, everyone. That's carried unanimously. So, somebody over here wants to have a question.
Two questions.
Okay.
Just in relation to the agenda in the public forum, there was no one present here to make a submission on annual business plans. Could that information be recorded in the minutes?
It could, but actually, I'm going to put that as a question because when the lady Janice spoke, she was actually talking about that, and I'm wondering if that would be included because it was very much about the financial side, that you mentioned along the financial plan. So I kind of feel that it just as reasonably sits in there as in the public forum.
Okay. Through the Mayor, Ms. Sharma, I think, made a presentation on the playground, so that will make most of the difference. Take that on board. And Angie's, yes, presentation could be taken as well. As long as it was put in the minutes at 18p, yep. So can you clearly see some questions asked? Did you have a form for it? Answer yes, and three people make submission.
Yeah, so there, instead of no one, we've got two people just with us.
Yeah, thank you. The second one, there are.
No, it's actually three, but there's Deb.
Oh, yes.
Technical form, anyway.
There's a second question, right? Relates to Bourbon Solar Park. Is it still proceeding?
Another question from the other
scene. Yes. Through your ownership, I can advise that the applicant has withdrawn their application following was the planning consent by the council's ethics panel, but they've now withdrawn that.
All right, thank you.
The question to that would be, can we make that information as public as possible? Because I was advised that happened, but I didn't know.
Right, so why don't you do what Councillor Pascal has just done and ask for anything, replies to be put in the minutes.
Can do that.
Right, so let's say you've just put.
Yeah, I move that the responsible and acting director is incorporated in the minutes and quote what she actually said.
So, is somebody supportive of that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Gill.
And I hope this is the last time I ask this question, Madam Mayor. Very important.
You all know what's coming.
Yeah.
Has the agreement's been signed to keep up payment deals?
So, can we just stop things? Because we had a mover and we had a second, and we didn't vote on it. So, just further review everything, I'm confused still. So, we actually, I don't think we need any more debate. We'll just go straight to the vote, please. That the response regarding the verbal side of farm be recorded in the minutes from the auditor. Now, let's go to the last question.
Has the agreement between the governments to provide for the funding for Huntingdale been signed?
Not my name, so I bet I'm a friend, everyone else. CEO, where are we on that?
It will be signed by you shortly, hopefully, today, your ownership. It's in its very final stage of due diligence. That is, it's being reviewed by our auditors to make sure that the accounting treatment proposed in the agreement is true and correct and in line with what we have previously put to accounting. And so I'll dare say that outcome, that final verification is imminent, and then we'll be able to be signed and sealed and awaited payment. Preliminary works have already commenced on sites. We have noticed if you, anyone who's been by.
Just to supplement, I did ask the director about money when that might come in to be in the end of June, whether that will be discussed instead of here.
Sure, so you're giving us some information. Yes. All right, thank you. So that's questions. Anybody else questions out there? All right, so let's go to motions without notice. We've already had sort of two brief ones, but does anyone have something to say for motion without notice? They want to bring up them. Well, in that case, we'll move on to reports. Does any council member wish to report anything that they have done in the last 2 weeks? Councillor Pascal,
can I just see if my arranged that?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes.
Happy?
Yep. Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you. Councillor Bill.
Yeah, pretty what I've had since I was on leave. But I missed one, a very important one, 2nd of June. I attended the opening of the Hermitage water tank on Range Road North. What I got from that was that Tea Tree Gully Council have gone up in their estimations and Adelaide Hills Council have got down. But it was a good event, and it was actually opened by the member for Macon, he's been the mayor of Salisbury. Anyway, the member for Macon.
So where was it? Taking the Hermitage water on down there.
So it's on the Great Great North at Hermitage. And it's actually sort of sits halfway on the shoulder or the verge and halfway on a property of people who actually own a carbon product. So I'll give them a plug while we're here as well. Really excellent.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right, so we can move forward to anyone who's been on any external organisations. So nothing to report there, so we can go on to 17.3. CEO, over to you.
Thank you. And through the Mayor, I just want to report on our business plan consultation. Over the 4 days, we spoke about 10 people to those forums, and thank you for the councillors that attended. I raise that because we're collating information that we've got from those sessions and also tonight's consultation session, and bringing that back to a special meeting of council being on Monday. And the question might be asked, why Monday? It's because we've got a pretty jam-packed agenda on Tuesday night around compulsory training, mid-term training. Therefore, we didn't want to impede on that training and thought that it would take the opportunity to have a Monday session instead to do with the annual business plan and the feedback that we've received and a couple of items related to the annual business plan as well. So that's all I have. I'm happy to take some questions with that.
Anyone got a question for the CEO? Thank you, Councillor Pasquale. Thank you, and through you, Mayor. When will we get a draft of the consultation for Monday's meeting?
Good question. We're hoping to get it in by the close of business Friday, if that's possible. At least I'll give you the weekend.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, CEO. So we can go on to item 18. Now, I'll go through all four of these, the answers. There are nil reports of the committees. So we can go straight to the full page items on 19 now. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Keith.
All right.
Thank you. So, what's it? Could somebody, if there was something that they put their ticket sales council, right?
Yeah, I'll move the motion to go into confidence.
No, hang on, did you have a conflict? Is it the first one? Yeah. Really,
nothing.
All right, thank you, Councillor Brown. Moved, Councillor Brown. Seconded, Councillor Gill, to go into confidence. Thank you. All those in favour? But that's the item name. No, it's recorded. No, it's not on there. It's not on there. Sorry, we need to add Tom to the list. All right, so now that we've got this, we've got a move. So we did have a move in a second, isn't it? So can I now get all those in favour, please, for any confidence? Thank you, that's very good. First, I get Tom, could you shove it off? All right, thank you everyone. 9.7, you did well. Thank you, Deputy Mayor, for taking on that task and keeping you time. So thank you very much for that. So everyone, our next meeting is due Tuesday, 25th of June, 6:30 here at the Embarkers early, and so I'll post a meeting at 9:30. Thank you everyone for spending that day.
Don't need to.